This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Long-form program starts with second-round action at noon. You can see the ball games over on ESPN, by the way. Starts off, of course, with the Miami-Clemson ball game, followed in the afternoon by Pitt and NC State, then Notre Dame-BC and Carolina-Syracuse on ESPN2 tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here from the Coliseum in Greensboro. Okay. We thought, the producers, we look now
at... We thought. You mean the producers
we
thought.
We and the producers. The producers thought, look at the best-equipped teams in certain categories for this event, okay? There were seven teams in the nation this year that were over 10 games above 500 in conference play. Four of them were in the ACC, Duke, Virginia, and Louisville. And Florida, Duke, Virginia, Louisville, Florida State. So, what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing about the producers. Now, the producer didn't come up with anything. You know where this idea came up?
You?
At breakfast yesterday after the show.
Oh, we did. That's right. Well, Josh was sitting there, so that was the producer.
Okay.
All right.
So what we're doing here is taking the top four seeds.
Right.
And saying, okay. And we talked to you've got eight you think can win. I think there's only four. I think it's these four. And so now we're going to break down the top four in terms of who's got the advantage.
And we agree on some and disagree on the others.
Apparently.
So we'll start with best offense.
We agree with this.
Yeah. I mean, the most, the best 94-foot team and the best half-court team and the best at changing speeds right now in terms of this tournament is Duke. I mean, they can play in the half-court. They have no problem doing that. Half-shooters. The depth question for me is interesting and one that could change game to game. As to who plays the minutes, we saw Saturday night, Justin Robinson ended up playing a bunch of minutes, right?
Bench points will be interesting. And does my man, Mr. Stanley, show up and play consistently? When he comes up as the third wheel and gives you points, Wes, this group right here is a tough out.
Yeah, we're going to continue that Cassius Stanley conversation with Boozer because Carlos and I were talking about him being the logical third or the go-with guy to go with Jones and Carey. And I think that that's why Duke is so complex and difficult offensively because they can change speeds, they change personnel, they play to the moment, and that's kind of where they stand. That's their calling card this year. Now, the other side of the ball, defensively, there's some discussion here.
Well, we've got some to pick from here, in my opinion. I think it's pretty cut and dry in terms of offense. Duke's got the best offense of the big four that are sitting here. But defensively... Hey, when I say college basketball, who plays the best D? You immediately say one team, and they're in this league. And last year they won the national championship, and right now they're strangling people on that end. The University of Virginia plays the best defense. Now, there's some others to pick from here, but is there any doubt? I don't care what part of the country you go in, you say, hey, if you're a college basketball junkie, who gets after it on the defensive end? UVA. They are going to absolutely wear you out and say, we're going to play a game in the 50s, and you're going to like it. That's what they do, Wes.
Yeah, I think Virginia's pillar hasn't changed in that respect. The team for me, though, that I see play a variety of different ways in the ACC, who I think can handle this event, and it's not that Virginia can't, but I just think Florida State's got an edge in their depth and the way they play. We keep coming back to the number of players they play in a ball game and the way they play them. And I think that's what makes the Noles not only the regular season champ, but it makes them potentially the most dangerous team defensively in the event.
That game right there?
Yeah.
The Louisville-Florida State game? I thought that was the best half of basketball that I have seen any team play this year. I don't care what league you go to, what team you pick.
Right.
Florida State in the second half against Louisville was sensational on both ends of the floor. And they've got the capabilities of being able to just say, you know what, we don't have to outscore you. Mm-hmm. We're going to play great team. I just think Virginia defensively, a little bit more consistent, and that is their style. I think when you talk about a team like Florida State, hey, we can beat you in the 80s.
Right.
We can beat you in the 60s. We can beat you with 10 different guys scoring 18 tonight. But on the defensive standpoint, the most consistent team, I think, of the big four is Virginia.
Yeah. The thing about Florida State in this respect, Pack, is I look at Leonard Hamilton's team, and I see Tony Bennett, it's a half court. Now, they do play beyond the mid-court line. They'll press and do those type things. But I look at Leonard Hamilton's team and just see the bodies everywhere. I mean, it's almost like sometimes the ball goes in play and they got eight guys out there.
Seems that way.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, in this event, it takes some of that. And I think there, here's, we're splitting hairs here, by the way, on some of this. But Florida State's ability to be that varied defensively, I think is a huge boost for them, not only this week, but I think going forward too.
Well, especially this week, if you're thinking about, hey, we're going to go win the championship and you know you got to play three straight nights.
Right.
The team who's got the best quality depth is in probably the best position. Florida State is in the best position because number one, they're the number one seed. They yeah. proved it over 4 months. And if you're telling me, hey, the snapshot is 3 days and the team's going to go WWW, Florida State, I mean, I'm not sure how you pick against them given the fact they've got so much quality depth.
All right. Our next category, best in-game coaching. Oh, we're really going to go for it now.
I like this one.
All right. Go ahead. You lead.
I'm going to lead. I'm going to tell you for one game right now in college basketball, I'm going Tony Bennett. And they're the defending champs. Do they have the best talent? They do not. But they play great team basketball, and I just love the fact that when people start saying, well, they've won eight in a row, but, man, they don't blow anybody out. That, to me, is coaching. You know what? They don't overwhelm you with the wow factor. They don't overwhelm you with one-and-dones.
Right.
What they do is X and O. And I think that guy right there today is the best coach in terms of X's and O's. Every game's tight. Every game is, hey, can you make a play? That guy right there. Eight straight wins coming to the tournament. Seven of them, by the way, have been unbelievably close by a grand total of 16 points. We've got Hall of Fame coaches in this league more so than anybody else in the country. Nobody else is close. But in terms of X and O for one game, I'm going to go Tony Bennett right now.
All right. That's good. I'm taking K. I'm taking Mike Krzyzewski. I think the way he coaches this event, his success in this event with Duke, no matter this year, last year, whatever the case, they're 48-10 the last 22 years at this event. I mean, it's unbelievable how good they've been. Something happens when Duke walks through the door here at the ACC tournament.
Yeah, they got the best players.
We could play in Brooklyn, Charlotte, Tampa, Greensboro, D.C., Carrboro, doesn't matter. I mean, we could be playing in, you know, Durham in the downtown mall. It doesn't matter. These guys do something at this event. And I think it's one of the reasons they've been incredibly successful.
He has won 15 ACC tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, he's rear view mirrored everybody.
Of 21 they've had.
He's unbelievable. And yeah. We're talking about the greatest, you know, of all time, go down that road. But this is not a lifetime achievement award. This
no,
is
I understand that,
who
but
you want for the game tonight.
Yeah.
And he's got normally better players than everybody he goes up against.
Well, and he's got a good track record of this event. Oh, Questy's got good players.
You know, it's funny. Neither one of us picked the ACC Coach of the Year.
I know that.
Leonard Hamilton.
I know that.
Who's sitting back watching us going, hey, my boys,
yeah.
Well, you guys know
what
we're going to give me any
guys?
Love on this. Yeah. Well, we're going to come up there to Tobacco Road, show you boys how we play.
I do believe that crowd's on a mission.
I think they're loving all of this.
Yeah.
And Chris Mack is a big-time talent. Listen, the coaches in this league, we're not even up and above the four that we're talking about. I mean, we got Jim Boeheim going against Roy Williams. Right?
Tonight?
I mean, tonight.
Yeah. A couple Hall of Famers.
Oh, come on, man. This league's loaded with incredible coaches.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Best single player in the event.
Did we differ on this, too?
Yes.
I went with the guy who received the most votes for first team all ACC. I mean, call me crazy. I mean, people have been watching games all year. You know who received more votes than anybody else? That dude, number one for Duke. I'll take the big man inside, even though foul trouble can be an issue at times. But when he's playing and he's not worried about foul trouble, that guy right there is the best player in the league, in my opinion.
Yep.
I didn't vote, however.
No.
But he received more votes than anybody. So that's where I'm going to go with.
He did. Again, this is completely splitting hairs.
This is why this is a good topic.
It is. Vernon Carey would be one school of thought. If you're going to look at the best player in the league, I went another route. I went with the ACC's player of the year, by the way.
He wouldn't have been if my man was nominated.
If Vernon Carey
Jr. was on the docket that you could vote for him, he would have been the player of the year.
I went with
yes
Trey
or
Jones.
No, West Durham.
Would I have voted for Vernon Carey?
I didn't ask you that.
Would
I
he
said
have been the
Vernon
player of the year?
Carey Jr. was on the docket to vote for player of the year. Would he have been the player of the year? Yes or no?
I think it would have been close.
I didn't ask you if it was going to be close. Yes or no?
I don't know that he would have been the player of the
Empire. Yeah, you do. You know why? He received more votes than anybody else.
Okay. So we'll use your theory to answer that question.
Come on.
I'm using Trey Jones as the best single player in the event because of not only what he's doing offensively. By the way, he's gotten a flair for the big shot. We've all talked about that during the year. But he's still steady on the defensive end. I think he's the real force behind what Duke is doing now. They've got leadership guys. There's no doubt about that. But I think what Jones is doing at really both ends of the floor has Billy really been one of the more effective weapons for Duke here.
Are you going to pick somebody other than Duke?
Yep.
Okay. Just ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best depth. Ready?
Yeah.
That will not be Duke.
Well, no, I would hope not.
No. I'm not picking. I picked Florida State for defense.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Awfully kind of you.
How about best depth?
Best depth's easy.
Yeah, we
the
both
boys
agree
are
on
number
this.
One. That's who's got the best
depth.
We got
31 guys on the roster.
Yeah, and they can all – the thing that's so cool about Florida State is on any given night, there's a new guy that is leading them in scoring. You know they're going to play great defense, right?
Yep.
That's a given. But, man, alive, it's just incredibly impressive. And, man, Trent Forrestunk, that was sweet. But the thing that's so cool about this team is, hey, every time you think, all right, we got to shut down Vassell. Okay, cool. We're going to shut down Forrest. Okay, fine. Well, guess what? There's six more dudes that are going to go for 18 points tonight and beat you.
Yeah.
That's why they're so good.
Intangibles. This is shown itself, in my opinion, the last 3 weeks of the regular season. The last 3 weeks of the regular season, the intangibles, the team I picked for intangibles has showed you why in the last 3 weeks.
Who'd you pick?
Virginia.
I did too.
Because I think what Virginia's done the last 3 weeks shows you all the little detail things. Now, yeah, have they won a lot of single possession games? Yes. But Virginia has done, in the term championship DNA that's been thrown out there, you've seen some of that. You've also seen a mix in the lineup. You've seen different guys take the spotlight. Collectively come back from games. You know, that type deal. I think that they've shown you all the little extras you need to be successful in this event.
You know why they do that, Wes?
Because
they
coach.
Got the best coach. I mean, come on. The guy pulling the strings
He's
and
good.
The buttons is fantastic.
He's really good.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Come down the stretch. You know, there's another team. You know, we both picked Virginia here.
Yeah.
I would give you Louisville. Well, I thought about picking Louisville here. I think Louisville may have the most to prove of the four.
Yeah.
And that's where I really fought Virginia or Louisville on the intangible because, hey, all these teams are in the tournament. So that's not the argument, right?
Right.
It's who's going to walk out of here with the banner, right? I want a net around my neck and some hardware, and let's get some momentum. I think Louisville may be the one of the four that at the end of the day coming into this tournament may have the most to prove. I mean, Florida State's kind of reached the finish line a little bit. First time ever, regular season champ. Duke's won this thing a gazillion times, and they're Duke. Virginia's defending champ, and, man, they worked their tails off when there was a lot of conversation a month ago whether or not they're going to be in the tournament now. Here, they're one game out of first place. And Louisville, to me, is the one team that kind of felt like, you know what? Florida State got us twice.
Yeah.
They beat us our place. We had them in trouble in Tallahassee, and then they put the clamps on us in the second. Louisville might be the team, from the intangible standpoint, that really comes in here with a chip on the shoulder.
No, I would agree
and that makes them dangerous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Makes them dangerous.
Absolutely.
So with all that said, we got the four biggies.
Yeah.
We kind of broke this down. You and I differed on many.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the one?
What, to win?
Those are the four. If we have biggest word in sports, if.
Yeah.
If we have chalk. And those are the four on a Friday night. If you're lucky enough to have a ticket, this place will be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You come walking in here, and those are your matchups. Florida State, Duke, Louisville, Virginia.
Mm.
What do you like? You want to hold off on that?
I'll give you that answer tomorrow.
Okay.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The madness is upon us.
Fire.
The Demon Deacons are firing from all cylinders offensively.
McGowan's skying up there. Tremendous game continues for Justin Champagne.
Talent finds a way to produce. Champagne has done it time and time again.
The Pitt Panthers holding off Wake Forest 81-72.
Survive in advance. It's the name of the game at this point.
I don't know what the Hokies and Heels have in store for us, but we're going to see. Well, Bisa hanging two is good. Lampy knocks down the three. And speaking of confidence, this young man wearing two in that Carolina blue got a lot of. Anthony went to the toolkit. Brandon Robinson got in his bag. Tar Heels have won four of their last five. This is a different Tar Heel team.
Packer and Durham from the Greensboro Coliseum Complex. Again, we have four on the floor.
Yeah.
Beginning at high noon, Clemson and Miami leads things off. And yesterday, North Carolina takes care of business, eliminates Virginia Tech, and Pittsburgh knocks off Wake Forest. First time ever, a 13 seed knocked off a 12 seed, previously 0-6 in that department until yesterday afternoon.
All right, so the Tigers, who come here to meet Miami after playing on New Year's Eve in the only regular season matchup, here's the question for you. Does Clemson bottle whatever that dust is at Little John Coliseum and get it into this building?
Well, I don't know if they can. I mean, did they ever do that really on the road this year? I mean, they did at Pitt, right? They did at BC when they shot 69%.
Carolina.
They finally beat North Carolina and now go 1-59. The streak's at 1, as a reminder. They have always been wildly inconsistent on the road. At times, they've been spectacular at home in Little John. But, you know, they weren't able to do that to Miami in Little John. So what makes you think they can do it on a neutral site?
I think Chris Likes' availability is a big factor in this game today.
Totally agree on that. Here's the other thing. I thought Clemson last week was disappointing. You know, they went to Virginia Tech. I mean, there was a lot of momentum
right,
as they rolled in the last part of the week, the last week of the season, West. You were thinking, hey, they got a road trip to Virginia Tech, revenge on the mind.
Right.
Then they got Georgia Tech, revenge on the mind. They went 0-2 and really didn't play particularly well at Virginia Tech. They were lethargic. Brunell talked about it. We just didn't have the energy and the communication. Of course, the Hokies made shots.
Yeah.
They make shots, they win. When they don't, they lose. Then you have, you know, senior night with Georgia Tech on a Friday night. And a game that they kind of got smacked in the first half. They do a great rally. They outscore by 20 in the second half. Take a 9-point lead with 5 minutes to go and lose. So, you know, it's kind of like the Pitt story a little bit. You know,
that's what I was getting ready to say. We saw the same thing happen with Pittsburgh.
It feels
they
look
very
way.
Good at all the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And they came in here and flipped the switch on Wake Forest
right.
yesterday.
Right.
And I, look, Miami got a very big win, when they beat Syracuse over the weekend in overtime, okay? And it's a win that changed kind of the dynamic of the bottom of the standings in the ACC as it relates to the bracket.
No doubt.
But here's the part that fascinates me. Pittsburgh, remember, they played midweek in Atlanta. They had 6 days, essentially. The bye week came at the back end for Jeff Capel. They had a long, long conference season. So they come in here yesterday. Champagne goes for 31. McGowan's, Johnson, Tony. Lights out.
Create 18 turnovers, 11
Correct.
Steals. There was an energy about their game.
All right. Is Clemson a veteran enough team with Sims' leadership, which we've talked about all year long? The X factor is Amir Sims, not just in terms of his play, but in terms of his leadership for Brownell. A young guy like an Alamir Dawes comes in here. Clyde Trapp, who's been in this event. You know, you got a handful of guys now. John Newman playing in his hometown, right?
Right.
Clemson come in here and flip the switch on a Miami team, and I think you made this point in hour one. Jim Larrañaga, sneaky successful in this event.
It's a bar bet is what it is. I mean, 9 out of 10 years, Miami has won at least one game in the ACC tournament, and they've even won an ACC championship in this building. So
right.
their vibe in this place is good. Their vibe is also good in the fact they won this game against Clemson earlier this year when really the Tigers kind of let that thing get away
well,
at home.
And now New Year's Eve's 100 years ago in
sure,
this basketball
right.
season, but I understand. And Vasiljevic has been here. The thing that, you know, where is Miami going to be? Isaiah Wong's first ACC tournament, Harlan Beverly's first tournament. We saw Champagne come in here and play like a 10-year veteran yesterday.
Sure did.
Okay. Cole Anthony came in here and played well last night. Armando Bacot did as well for Carolina. Sometimes the finality gets the older guy and the younger guy has no clue. And that may be the reality tonight for, or this afternoon rather, for Clemson and Miami, where the younger guys like a Dawes are not thinking about it. For an older guy, could be different. I think the noon game today, if I had to kind of pick one that's intriguing, I'm intrigued by that one because of the dynamics of the regular season finishes to what we get today.
I have no feel who wins this game.
I don't either. I think it'll be very close, just like the regular season meeting.
Well,
was.
We gave you the stat, too. Since 2003, Clemson basketball in the ACC tournament, that's 16 consecutive tournament games.
Right.
They've not lost a game by more than 7 points. I mean, that's kind of a crazy number when you kind of consider where they were in the seeding department.
Right.
They play competitive games. They haven't won a whole lot of them. They're 3-9 in 8-versus-9 matchups since 1992. So, you know, this is, to me, kind of a, hey, it's 8-versus-9. It really kind of feels like a coin flip game.
Right.
I think it really is. Team that shoots the best normally wins.
Here's the other thing to keep an eye on in the way this whole thing sets up, okay? When you start thinking about games that are close, and we've talked about how close all the games were all year long. I mean, we had 35% of the games in the ACC this year were 5 or less or overtime, right?
14 overtime games.
27 of the games were 3 points or overtime, right? But we didn't have anything near that yesterday. I mean, we had a 6-point halftime game and a 1-point halftime game, and they both ended up at 9 and then 22 last night.
Yeah.
At some point, the trend of the regular season is going to kick into this event. It could be today. The numbers in the brackets would tell you that. At some point, though, we're going to get the apple cart to flip over.
Well, the 8-9 game just seems like it should be.
It does,
but
typically it happens in other places like Pittsburgh or Carolina or, you know, whatever the case may be with the lower seed banging around. We'll see what happens here. But at some point in this event, it's going to get close, and it's going to get weird, just like the season.
Well, and that's not just an ACC thing. That's a college basketball thing this year. It's been completely upside down.
So of these games, we've talked about Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame, BC, 7 o'clock game on ESPN2 tonight.
Yeah, BC, by the way, 1-1 at Notre Dame. Notre Dame 1-1 at BC.
Correct.
The Irish, by the way, 13-1 all time against Boston College. Makes no sense, right? I mean, we're going to give you all kinds of numbers, and at the end of the day, you're going to say, great, well, who's going to win these games? You've been high on Notre Dame, just, and again, Lauren Brownlow in love with Notre Dame. They are the kind of team, though, again, Mike Bray likes the building. They've had success here. When they make shots, and this is kind of a beat the drum routine, when they make shots, they are tough to deal with.
I'm just going to tell you, you can show me all these highlights. Number three tonight is the guy to keep an eye on for Notre Dame. Prentice Hubb is a roadshow killer. Prentice Hubb loves playing on the road. Rex Pfluger likes talking to the crowd. He'll be a little disappointed that the fans are up in the seats and not on the floor. Because Pfluger, we saw him talk all night at Clemson. I saw him talk to his own fans at South Bend. He talks at Boston College. Great kid from Dana Point, California. But Prentice Hubb is a roadshow killer. He loves playing on the road. Kid from the DMV. And absolutely wants the ball in his hands late on the road. I think Notre Dame could be really, really interesting in here tonight.
What about Jim Christian? This has been a weird year for BC. They've got 7 wins. It's kind of like the old Steve Adazio deal. 7 always seemed to be like the ceiling that they want to break through. And they've been so beat up and banged up. I think this year he's really kind of done a nice job given all the injuries at Chestnut Hill. But, hey, the object is to win games.
Yeah.
And I know they want to win some games.
Yeah. The thing is you don't know who's healthy for BC.
That's the problem.
Popovich is the latest scenario to play out for Boston College. Nick was not here for the workout, and I don't think expected to join the team. His back injury, the thing that's kept him on and off the floor all year long. The Hamilton brothers have been banged up. And that's been a constant for Boston College this year and a frustrating piece. The other thing is this about BC. They lost 6 of their last 7 going down the stretch.
They had no players.
Right.
When you start talking about, hey, 3 of my top 5 players and scorers aren't going to play.
Right.
Hey, the league's tough enough at full strength. That's Roy Williams. I mean, it's not like he's recruited bad players.
Yep.
And when you're not healthy, it's hard to win games.
Yeah. By the way, quick note here, coming up, we've got the NCAA Division I Wrestling Championship selection show is tonight. Now, you can see that on NCAA.com, that website. They'll have the selection show at 6 o'clock Eastern time. There are 38 ACC wrestlers who qualified automatically or who have received an at-large bid. So there you go.
Impressive.
That's tonight, 6 o'clock.
We have jumped on the wrestling bandwagon.
The duels, as it were.
Love it.
And now we're going to the Nationals at U.S. Bank. We're not going. The ACC's going. And, of course,
I'd like to go, though.
I know you would. NC State won the team title. We saw Jacob Camacho on the show yesterday. It's fantastic.
Camacho, man.
At 125 pounds.
Looks like Clark Kent.
He'd be lost in between us. I can tell you that. He'd be standing over here looking like a swizzle stick.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham. the Packer and Durham podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Now we're talking legends. It's going to be like a legendary 90 minutes of television radio coming up now.
Right. Corey Alexander said last night when we were talking about the show today, he said, don't let Wittenberg tell you all this stuff that was going on in this world. The great Derek Wittenberg is with us on the show, part of the Cinderella March in 1983, which was just yesterday, by the way, to win the national championship. And he's working on an exciting project for ACC Network. We may dig into a little bit of that. But first of all, in this building, at this event, is it just drive the emotions?
Oh, man, this is exciting, man. And what's bad for me is that for the first time in my life, I'm in the stands. I'm not on the court. I'm not playing. I'm not blowing the whistle. The ACC tournament is nothing more special. And I can remember growing up, watching my cousin David Thompson and getting up with Raycom Sports Saturday mornings and watching the ACC tournament. So I'm excited. I'm watching every game. I'm going to definitely be at NC State, but it's nothing like the ACC tournament.
We got security people to handle stuff for us. Do we need to have security for you for these games? I mean, are you going to just kind of snap on us during this thing? What's going on?
He does a lot of walking at PNC Arena now. You have to walk around, don't you?
I have to walk around, and I just love our fans and Wolfpack Nation. I'm talking to everybody and having fun with our fans and our donors, and it's just a wonderful time. But this is special. I wish you would give me a pass so I could walk around and talk to everybody here. That's what I love to in the ACC tournament, man. It's going to be such the atmosphere here is just unbelievable. I've been to a lot of different tournaments, but the ACC, the pageantry, the history here, the excitement, the fans that come here, I mean, I just think it's a special tournament.
Why is it, and we were talking during the break, the kids and the players get younger and we get older. The math doesn't necessarily work in our favor here a little bit, but – it's amazing the connection of people with that were born 10, 15 years after you guys won that know the story of 83, know the dynamic of having to win in Atlanta, then getting the regionals, the whole deal, and then ultimately what happens in Albuquerque. But how do young kids connect with that team? Why do you think young kids connect with that team? Because there are all sorts of stories like it, but something about NC State.
Interesting. You send me a kid to come pick me up today to come on the show. The kid's 22 years old. I show him a copy of Survivor. He said, that's my favorite film. He's 22 years old, and he's from California. He said he loves it, and this is why he came to High Point University and came here to work for the ACC office. That's the impact of the ACC and that run that we had 37 years ago. It's just people from all walks of life have enjoyed that story. And if it wasn't for the ACC tournament, we may not have won the national championship because we had to win it. We had to go to Atlanta and win three games. Mm. And I think this year's tournament is just as exciting. I think it's up to Grant. Anybody can win this tournament.
See?
Yeah, well, Derek's wrong. Derek's dead wrong. By the way, you had to win that tournament in 83 or you would not have won. Let's get that part straight.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. But you know what? That's why I like your daddy more than you, because your daddy would agree with me.
That's all right.
Because, you know, he's been around a lot longer. The history between me and your dad is a lot more than you.
That's right.
You were a little baby when I was playing. But now,
you know what?
You are millennial.
No, wrong. I was standing with Terry Holland during that run, watching what you guys were doing.
We've got
that on video.
We had a picture. They ran the state Carolina semifinal game at the Omni on ESPN Classic,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a guy screenshotted Packer a lot younger.
With hair.
With hair.
And a good attitude.
Talking to, as Lefty called him, Turi, in the tunnel at the Omni. Remember that old corner tunnel?
Oh, absolutely.
And they screenshotted Packer talking to Terry Holland in the tunnel. And he clipped it, and we ran it on the show. And I mean, I'm telling you now, male model over here looked pretty good.
He was there. That happened to be another overtime game. You mentioned overtime games. They went overtime against Carolina, which I fouled Michael Jordan out. I mean, I want to put
there's
that on
no question. Dockett steals your thunder all
Michael
the time.
Michael Jordan could not guard.
Couldn't
me.
Guard you.
He
That's
fouled.
Right.
He got five fouls. He fouled out of the game.
Right.
And we happened to beat a great Dean Smith team.
But then you did it the next day.
Did it next day.
And see, this is the semifinal game at the Omni. By the way, the old...
Did you see me shoot that over Ralph?
Yeah.
Yeah, we
Perfect.
Talked about
Tear
that earlier. Drop. By the way, that might have been the play against Virginia where you hurt your foot, right? In the preseason, in the middle of January?
The first game.
Yeah, and then came back and Kent Needland shouldn't have never tried to touch that. Always good to see Cozell McQueen, by the way, underneath the basket. Here's the idea I have about that, though. You beat Carolina in the semis on Saturday at the Omni in Atlanta. What happened? And we know all the story about Jimmy and all the things in the postseason of the NCAA tournament. But, Whit, what happened on Saturday after the game before Virginia on Sunday? Because I don't know how you feel about it. I think that the Carolina-Virginia combination doesn't get the credit it deserves because of what happened afterwards. People don't. Those were really good teams. You beat in back-to-back days. What happened on Saturday night with Jimmy? What did y'all do to say, okay, here's Virginia?
Well, Virginia, for one, we hadn't beaten them in eight times in a row. Ralph had beaten us every time we seen Ralph. And the time we should have beaten was when I got hurt at home and
right.
we were up 14 points and they came back and beat us. But we just felt it was the old adage that you can't beat it. It's hard to beat a team three times, right?
Yeah.
So we lived on that. And then I think, guys, we were numb. When you start to win and get on a roll, and you beat North Carolina at the time was number two in the country.
Right.
And they had a great team. And we just felt like we're going to find a way to win this game. It wasn't nothing really special. And Jimmy kept saying, survive in advance, survive in advance. And he never would tell us. He says, one game at a time. He didn't say, hey, guys, we got to win the ACC tournament, but we're not going to the tournament. He never put that kind of pressure. He made us focus on the process. Focus on the game, and it talked about surviving advance, and we pulled it out.
Derek, you mentioned why this team has such a connection with fans, even if they weren't even born yet. I think it does go back to Valvano. He was such a character, and your team, and let's be honest, I mean, you guys had no business doing what you were doing, and here's this guy from New York ranting and raving on Tobacco Road, and he always had great quips, and NC State was kind of a likable, hey, I don't know if they're going to win the game, but I mean, they're a fun group. And now all of a sudden you start talking about, hey, we started to believe that, hey, you know what? Yeah, we go beat North Carolina. We're going to beat Virginia not once. We're going to beat them twice because you had to.
Well,
and then all of a sudden off you go to the races. But I think it started with your man running the show.
Absolutely. And this is the one thing I will agree with
him. Oh, now Wittenberg's on my side.
And
hold on a second. Let me call Billy.
Call Billy.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, from day one, Coach Valvano talked about winning the national championship. So on this run, this guy made you believe that you were better than I mean, I had no business saying that I'm better than Michael Jordan, but he had me believe in that.
Yeah.
You know, Cozell McQueen thinks he's better than every center in the country. Now, we all know that that's not true, but Cozell
right.
believed it.
Yeah.
You know, we had a great quarterback in Sidney Lowe who was like the consummate point guard, smart, knew how to run the show. We didn't run 900 plays. And then we had Thurl Baylor, the quiet leader that nobody kind of unassuming, not a tough guy, but just got the job done. We had a unique team, but Jimmy made us feel like we could beat anybody. Just follow the script, put us in, but he said, I'm going to put you in position to win the game, and you guys got to do it.
It's a remark. I mean, and you said this earlier, 37 years later, it still resonates. It resonates with so many people. It's phenomenal. And, yeah, we're fortunate in this footprint, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we see great moments like we've talked about Randolph Childress 25 years ago in this building. Stood the place on its ear. I mean, you know, because you were at 8-8 and finished fifth mm-hmm. after the four-way tie for first in 1995. And you were working for Bobby at Georgia Tech at the time. You know how good Randolph Childress was. and then for him to come in here and light that place up. That's the beauty of this event. 66 years of it, you got moments. Oh. I mean, you got moments and teams and players and history. That's what makes this event one of the best events in sports when you think about it.
Absolutely. And what's special about it is that going back and respecting the tournament from day one, from the time that it was in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and watching all the great players come up. And then now I get an opportunity to talk to them about their stories, which is incredible, about their run, how they were recruited and how they thought how special this ACC tournament is. So I just think this is an exciting moment at this time of the year. And I'm ready. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
I just got a text from Billy. He says, Wittenberg is right.
Just like I said, the daddy.
All right. We're going to come back, talk about the project. Derek is working with ESPN and the ACC Network. You already know he was involved with Jonathan Hawk on Survive and Advance, which is phenomenal. And apparently the guy that brought him over here, it's his favorite, and he wasn't even born when they won the thing.
I hope he got a free video out of it.
Hey, I hope he did, too.
I was going to give him a
video. Good. Okay, yeah. Big of you. I appreciate that. By the way, we may get a story or two out of Derek about Cremins, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course.
We'll remind you that baseball is right here on ACC Network. Friday night, the Battle of the Blues pack, a weekend series at the DBAP in Durham between Mike Fox's team at Carolina, Chris Pollard and Duke. This is a pretty good little matchup now, and important as we've now gotten into conference play in baseball. Coverage starts at 7. Mike Monaco and Adam Greenberg will be there for you here on ACC Network.
Heels need to bounce back after being swept by Notre Dame last week.
I would say so. Okay.
Packer and Durham.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Greensboro Coliseum Complex, back to business, as I mentioned, for today. For tomorrow, it really starts picking up steam. And Derek Wittenberg will be going crazy during the second game as he's walking around pestering anybody within notes because NC State's playing today.
Absolutely.
You better be on your best behavior, all right?
Well, I'm going to try to be on my best behavior, but, you know, it's tournament time. It's survive in advance time.
And State must win this game if they're going
to win. We need this game for sure. I think for a tournament bid, and our guys are fired up and ready to go. Pittsburgh will not be an easy basketball game.
Right.
I think they got a little bit momentum. Pittsburgh's been on the crust of really being a good team, and they need some quality wins. So we're going to play a good game today to beat Pitt.
All right, you like Kevin Keats. We've talked about this before. You like the way he's come in and kind of built things in the first couple of years. I know you like Jeff Capel and the job he's done at Pittsburgh. And as a coach, you see this. So tell me about a matchup today, about a Markell Johnson and a Trey McGowan's, or Markell Johnson, Xavier Johnson. I had the game a couple of weeks ago. It's a pretty strong perimeter game. Mm-hmm. But seemingly like this, and Pack and I talk about it, every time we think we got it solved out on the perimeter or inside, the other side takes the game. So could it be DJ Funderburk if Manny Bates is 100%? Is that the advantage NC State has, and is it a wash on the perimeter?
I think it starts with the guard play, and it starts with three-point shooting, and then who can offset that with free throw shooting and two-point shots. See, most of the game now is outside in, and everybody shoots a minimum of 20 to 3-point shots per game. And so if you don't make 6 or 7 3-point shots, in which that's a part of our game, is to shoot 3-point shots. So the concept of the game is not the individual, and you got to hit 3 guys in double figures. See, if you get 3 guys in double figures, that puts you in at least a 70 to 80-point range.
And that's kind of like the key of the game. Like you say against Virginia, the first guy to 50 wins the game against Virginia, right? Because if you don't get to the 50, because you're not getting no more than 50, 60 points against Virginia. What's it, this game is going to be different because both teams like to get up and down. You're going to take a shot or probably less than 20 seconds in the shot clock. And everybody is copycat offense, right? Everything is screen and roll, pitch, screen and roll. It doesn't go inside yet. The game is all – it's a pro-style game, screen and roll. That's what we do. Markell Johnson, screen and roll game. If you don't defend that, we're gonna pitch and hit some three-point shots. And occasionally we throw in the Funderburk and he gets it going. That's going to be our strategy. Now, can we – how does Pitt offset that? But Pitt's got to score too. So the bottom line is who going to knock down the three-point shots, get to the free throw line, and offset it by two-point shots.
Dick, you know what's cool about this game, and you played it at the ultimate level, whether it be in the 80s with great guard play because you had it at NC State on your way to win a national championship, or in 2020, your guards better play well. I mean, nothing has – I mean, the game's changed drastically, but in some respects, there's one constant, that if your guard plays just okay, there's a ceiling on where you're going. And if Markell Johnson plays well, NC State can do some good stuff here.
Absolutely. But and the same thing is that now the game has become smaller. So now you have four perimeter guards. Most of our teams had two big guys and three guards. Now you've kind of playing a four out, one in kind of system. Everybody's doing it. And everybody, watch it. Everybody's screen and roll. It's the pro game. Screen and roll. Everybody. And listen, if that guy doesn't make a play, because the ball sometimes don't move a lot. It's one guy with the ball, you screen and roll, you pitch, you make a play, you're taking a quick shot, and if you get it going, man, it's a really good offense. You don't get it going, it's tough. But what Pittsburgh is going to try to do, if they get a lead, they're going to play us some zone to try to offset our pick and roll game.
That's what they did in Raleigh.
And they did that in Raleigh, and that's what Duke did at their place. We beat them the first time at our place, but Duke played zone at their place. So, you know, to offset the pick and roll game, a lot of teams trying to play us a lot zone to kind of throw our rhythm off because Markell Johnson is very, very good off the screen and roll. And like you said, Funderburk, and we get Daniels and CJ Bryce. If we can get that third score, right? If we get that third guy, then we'll be tough to beat.
Braxton Beverly was hot the other night against Wake Forest. Oh. Came in, knocked down a couple threes, and all of a sudden he was feeling it.
What I got his nickname from is 8 Mile. 8 Mile, the rapper, 8 Mile. I said 8 Mile is knocking down those 3-point shots. I love that kid. We got to keep him in the game. And listen, sit him over there and let him shoot the ball as much as he can.
Quit.
We don't worry about defense at all.
Quit. All right.
That's his nickname.
No, I know, 8 Mile. Yeah, I'm not using that on the air. Anyway.
He might.
No, I'm not using that. All right, here we go. You played for Valvano, one of the great characters in ACC basketball history.
Yes.
You then got into coaching.
Yes.
And you coached with Cremins.
Oh, my goodness.
You could write a book on Valvano and Cremins. I want...
Don't forget Norm Sloan.
And Norm Sloan.
Ooh.
I just want about 90 seconds of your favorite Cremins story.
My first day of recruiting with Cremins. We go down to Georgia and Macon. We're recruiting this kid, Bobby... after recruiting visit, we go, he calls all these Georgia Tech alums, it's about 8 of them. We go to this restaurant, and we go all going, we having a good time, and Cremins is telling stories, and we get down to the bill, and Cremins does like this. And he looks at me and says, Derek, you got your wallet with you? I don't have it in mind.
Your first day on the job.
You take care of the bill. I'm looking like, dang, I only got about $150. I got to give it all. I got to give all the money. And I end up, my last $150, I had to pay for the meal for all the love that Cremins is making, $900 million. And I'm making about, I don't know, 40. And I have to give my
40
last.
Million? No.
I got to give my last $150 to my first recruiting meal with Bobby Cremins.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Cremins hadn't bought a meal yet.
But I got another quick one. So we in the tournament, and Bobby's giving a pep rally to the team, and he's talking. And he says, and he adjourns the meeting. Okay, go, let's go get him. He says, I want to have a meeting with the coaches. He says, Jimmy Hebron. He said, Kevin Cantwell. And he says, he looks at me, he says, Ben Jobe.
And I look around and I go, Ben Jones.
Ben Jones is Southern.
Ben Jones worked with you in South Carolina. Wow. I said, can you give me Sherman Dillon? Or Perry Clark? He called me Ben Jones. Ben Jones was like about 50 years ago. I said, Bobby, I'm Wittenberg. I work with you now.
Hello, my name is. That's what you need. One of those stickers,
yeah, yeah. Derek.
Ben Jones. Let's go. Ben Jones.
By the way, if you did the radio for Cremins or you coached for Cremins or you just were around Cremins, you have a Cremins impression and you have at least a half dozen stories.
Absolutely. What a wonderful man.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. And I know why Carolyn didn't give him any money.
Yeah.
Because anybody to walk up to him, he's got the biggest heart in America. He's going to give it to you. He'll give you tickets. He'll give you money. He'll give you
unbelievable.
Anything. He got the biggest heart in America.
But he's not giving you $150 to pay for that dinner.
I still like it. He still calls me today when he comes in. If he came to ACC, he said, Derek, come pick me up.
Yeah.
Bobby, I don't work for you anymore.
Yeah, I don't work for you.
I still
anymore.
Think I works for him.
Great to see you, my man.
Great to see
You're
you
the best.
All right.
Best
Derek
of luck.
Wittenberg.
Good
to see you.
Great to be with us on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.